Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians along the beautiful Southern California coast. Together we seek to grow in individual spirituality and in community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. More information can be found on our website at lajoyaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Hear these words from the Gospel of Luke. Some Sadducees, who deny that there's a resurrection, came to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, leaving a widow but no children, the brother must marry the widow and raise up children for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first man married a woman and then died childless. The second and then the third brother married her. Eventually, all seven married her, and they all died without leaving any children. Finally, the woman died too. In the resurrection, whose wife will she be? All seven were married to her." Jesus said to them, "People who belong to this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy to participate in that age, that is, in the age of the resurrection from the dead, won't marry, nor will they be given in marriage. They can no longer die because they are like angels and are God's children since they share in the resurrection. Even Moses demonstrated that the dead are raised in the passage about the burning bush when he speaks of the Lord as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He isn't the God of the dead, but of the living. To him, they are all alive." The word of God for the people of God.
I would like to make a confession. But remember, I'm a preacher. It'll take me a minute to get there. You all know that I love technology. My first career was in technology. When I was a kid, I'm talking, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, we had one of the first computers in our block. Yes, that's how old I am. And it was an Apple computer. You see, when it comes to the whole idea about technology, the old TV commercials between Mac and PC, I'm the Mac guy. I'm not saying I'm as cool as that actor was. I'm saying I'm a Macintosh person. Some of you are Windows PC people. That's okay. Today we might talk about that in terms of I'm a blue text guy and not a green text guy. Some of you got that. The point is, I engage in technology. And frankly, it's one of the things that I bring in ministry, right? We've got new technology in terms of our display and in terms of some of our worship announcements. The idea that we were able to do online worship is not solely on me. There was lots of help, but I knew the right questions to ask to help drive us when we were unable to meet in person. I love technology. And so when Apple announced the newest iPhone 14, I knew I wanted to get one. And I did. It arrived in the shipment box just a couple of weeks ago. This is my iPhone 14 Pro Max. Now, my provider had a deal. You see, if I got the new phone and I gave my old phone to my youngest child, Zach, and then I traded in his phone, then my monthly bill actually went down. I got a new phone and I'm spending less money. That's a win. And I want to say that the reason I got a new phone was because it saved me money. That's what I want to say. But if I'm honest and fair with you, that's not really how the math works out. I could have just paid off my old phone and my monthly bill would have been down even further. But I really wanted the new phone. I really wanted the newest, shiniest tech. Because in my heart, I'm a nerd. I like the newest and shiniest tech. And in some ways, there's a certain flash and flair to having the newest tech. I'm aware of that. I'm aware of it because I like to have it for myself, and I'm aware of that because I see it in others. And it really is, as much as I say I saved a little bit of money, and I did, but also it's nice to have the new tech. It's nice to have new and shiny things. Do we agree that it's nice to have new and shiny things? In reality, as excited as I am about my new iPhone, it's temporary. If we look at the grand scheme of things, it's temporary. And I don't just mean it's only going to last for 2 or 3 years and then I'm going to trade it in. That's not what I mean. I mean in the grand scheme of things, the stuff that I have, the clothes, the technology, my car, my laptop, my stuff, is temporary. And do you know why I'm okay with that? Do you know why I'm okay with the idea that all that stuff is temporary? Because I believe in a life everlasting. I believe that this life is temporary and that there's something more. Now believe me, I want to cling to this life. I want to experience this life. I want to experience all the joy and the heartbreak and the wonderful things and the difficult things. I want to experience the journey in this life. But I don't want to do it in such a way that I think that this life is all there is. I don't want to do it in such a way that I collect it and draw it all for me and don't think about the bigger picture. Jesus is challenged, I dare say tricked, pushed, riddled by a group of people who are called Sadducees. In almost every place that I can find in sacred text that lists the Sadducees, it also describes them by saying the Sadducees, those who don't believe in the resurrection. One Jewish scholar, some of you have studied her books, Amy J. Levine, makes the joke that the Sadducees don't believe in the resurrection, so they're Sadducees. These group of people, these Sadducees, this group who doesn't believe in the resurrection, but also have some other differences from their Jewish community. They believe that the only sacred writings are the books of Moses, the Pentateuch, the first 5 books of what we would call the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible. So the Psalms, the writings of the prophets, no. The Sadducees would say those are not sacred text. The only sacred text from the Sadducees' perspective would be the Torah, the Pentateuch, the first 5 books. This is the group who comes to Jesus. And they try to trick him by telling him the riddle of 7 brides for 7 brothers. Except it's not that. It's 1 bride for 7 brothers. And they bring to him a circumstance that is clearly unjust. A woman who is passed along these series of brothers. Part of what's unjust about this story is it seems to indicate, as a woman marries the first brother and doesn't have children, and so that brother dies and marries the next one and doesn't have children, the first thing that I notice is the story seems to suggest that this woman's only purpose is to have children. I just think the gifts and graces that women bring to the world are a whole lot more than just bearing children. But that's what the story seems to indicate. Now, I want to say a quick word about the tradition, the Jewish tradition of when the first brother dies, it's the obligation of the next brother to marry this woman. You see, in the culture of the time, both leading into the Jewish tradition, in this time when Jesus is in Jerusalem being riddled by these Sadducees, and even for a time after, the cultural tradition is not unlike that sad notion that a woman's purpose is to bear children. That's the cultural tradition. And that because of this, really, she is little more than property. Now, the Jewish tradition does something wonderful. And that's what's highlighted as one brother and then the next are obligated to marry this woman. Is the understanding that this is a valued child of God. And in spite of the cultural tradition that sees her as little more than property, the Jewish tradition lifts her up saying she must be cared for. And this is why it's the obligation of the next brother to marry her, to care for her. It's a good tradition. It's not a bad thing. I'm not trying to say anything negative about this rich Jewish tradition. I suggest that this tradition is a good thing in the face of a difficult cultural understanding. Yet here is this woman who has passed down from brother to brother. And yes, she is cared for. And yet the other thing that I notice about this story is the unimaginable loss that she experiences. The death of her husband and caretaker, and then the death of her husband and caretaker, and then the death of her husband and caretaker, and then the death of her husband and caretaker, and then the death of her husband and caretaker, and then the death of her husband and caretaker. Can you imagine that grief and loss? And so these Sadducees go to Jesus, who don't believe in the resurrection, and then ask him a question about the resurrection. And one of the things that I imagine in their asking of this story is, like, this doesn't come from an ancient Hebrew word, it's a newer word for today, but I imagine the snark in which they ask their question. I imagine the sense of irony. I imagine the ribbing in their tone of voice as they try to trick Jesus, to trip him up, to puzzle him. And Jesus does something wonderful. You know what he does? He takes them seriously. He takes them seriously and he answers their question. And then he answers it in a way that they have to really wiggle and wrestle with. Remember, this is a group of people who find that who believe that the only sacred text are the writings of Moses. So Jesus responds by saying, well, Moses says, you see how he does that? See how he takes them seriously? And then he speaks to his audience in a language that they can hear and understand, even if it's uncomfortable. But then he goes on to highlight the answer to the question they should have asked. See, when they ask about this woman who is married to seven men, who is cared for by these men in a culture that treats her as property and experiences this unimaginable grief, and I think that he interprets that the question they're asking is, to whom does she belong? And Jesus says she doesn't belong to any of them because she belongs to God. She doesn't belong to any of these men. As wonderfully as they may have cared for her, she doesn't belong to any of them. As much as she may have cared for them, she doesn't belong to any of them because she belongs to God. And it inspires us. In times where we may want to have all the things that we want to have, wonderful houses and wonderful cars and beautiful technology like the iPhone 14 Pro Max, and reminds us that all of this is temporary because we do not belong to this world. We do not belong to one another. Even if we want to, we do not belong all the time in this life. because we belong to someone and something bigger. Something more eternal, something more grand, something more grandiose, something more filled with love and potential. We belong to God. Now, of course, it is All Saints Sunday. In a moment, we will name those who we have lost from our midst over the course of the last year. And it is good and right that we experience grief from the loss in this life, but not to be overcome with it, because we remember that we are a resurrection people. And why are we a resurrection people? Because we belong to God. May God sustain us in grief and in life. And remind us, as we read so often in the Gospels, that ours is not a question of what are earthly things, but what are heavenly things. Because we belong to God. Let us live in such a way, outwardly, visibly, prophetically, and radically, lives that show that we belong to God. Amen. Hallelujah.